Hi, thanks for downloading another episode of the Podestrian Podcast. This is the second half of a live episode that we recorded on September 22nd at the Endgames Training Center North, 2081 Mission Street. If you like this episode, like us on iTunes or Facebook. Leave comments. Tell us what you think. Actually, it would mean a lot to me if you would just leave a comment, something nice. I'm editing this episode without Krish, and it would just mean so much if you would say something nice. Trying to convince Krish that maybe I can take on more responsibilities. Krish is really focused on the numbers of subscribers, and he thinks that it's really going to affect our sponsorship with Subway. I haven't had the heart to tell him that I've made up the sponsorship, and it would really mean a lot if you would say something nice, if we could get our numbers up. Also, he makes me do these voices that I don't want to do, and I just want to talk to you like without any characters or anything. I just want to tell you guys, really means a lot to me, Hector, to have you guys listen to this. Thanks so much. Oh, and we have another live show on November 3rd, Friday, at 7 p.m. at Endgames Training Center, 2081 North. It's actually our one-year anniversary, and we're planning something big, really big. Yeah, like huge. And so it would really mean a lot to us if you just come out and bring your friends. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Hector, it's Krish. Are you not doing the voices? I told you to do the voices. We gotta get our numbers up for that Subway ad sponsorship, all right? Remember, do the voices. Check you later.
Check.
Me, Shrether Ramesh.
Welcome to the Podestrians. That's our new name.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the new. This is a brand new podcast. What we're gonna do is we're gonna talk a little bit. We have a set of very seasoned, very funny improvisers who are gonna do some improv based on
our conversation. And we'll trade off back and forth. They might inspire us to talk again, and we might inspire them. Cool. And everything's gonna be inspired by you. We're gonna have a conversation based on what you want us to talk about.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. So without further ado.
Yes. Please give it up for Alice Wu, David Chalk, Josh Love, and Caitlin Harrington.
Hello.
Hi.
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 For our second half, we want to change things up a little bit. I will exit the seat.
Yes, Hector's been itching to do improv.
Yeah, I've been itching
ages.
I've been kicked off of every single improv team I'm on. So this is my opportunity to do some improv. So in place, we're going to have someone whom we're all very familiar with, a very, very special person, not a guest anymore. He is persona non grata. Warm welcome to Shrether Ramesh.
Yes.
Finally made it into the special ranks I've been itching to get into.
Not a guest.
Take it.
I guess we all take what we can get. Yeah. What would you like to hear Shrether and I talk about?
Sidekicks. So, as my sidekick, I'm sure you have some strong opinions on this matter.
If any, Hector and I were talking, I think, 2 days ago, and we were like, you know, Shrether's sort of the Carl Pilkington to our Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
Right, best friend of Ricky Gervais and whom Stephen Merchant is the sidekick of.
If you want me to be your sidekick, fine. I can be your sidekick. I'm happy to be your sidekick on my podcast that you've been invited to sit in.
All right. Yeah. As long as I get the title, that's all that matters. It's like a special guest thing.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking, actually, as I said this, I had some buyer's regret, buyer's remorse, because probably sidekicks probably have more personality, generally, than the main superhero.
Yeah, I think that's true. And now that I think about it, I actually like it. You know, like, the sidekick is the one who gets to express way more emotion. I feel like the hero is the one who is static.
Yeah.
The one who can't commit anything. And if you think about, like, when I do think about, say, a character like Carl Pilkington, that is a character who is something of the main character because he's sort of the object of the joke. He's sort of like the one, like the people who are really having the fun in that are always Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant. So they are the sidekicks to Carl Pilkington. Like it's called the Ricky Gervais Show. It's their show, but they really are the sidekicks to this one special brain of Carl Pilkington. And you are certainly a special brain, if anything else. You have an interesting way of thinking.
And a head like an orange, but... I've actually never seen that show.
You
haven't? No, I've only heard things and... Oh, sorry, I thought somebody was talking. I've only heard...
That's that special brain right there.
The voices, they constantly are talking. I've only ever heard things about people making fun of Carl Pilkington for saying things that then I realize I agree with. So this metaphor is quite apt, I suppose. For example, I remember they sent him off to do travel in a bunch of places. And he would complain about certain things, and they'd be like, oh, this uncultured boob doesn't like going to a place where the toilets don't work and you can't drink the water. And I would think to myself, that doesn't sound fun to me either. But I guess that makes me unsophisticated, too.
Well, the part of it was also they were sending him to these places, and... Also, sort of like as a practical joke, they were putting him in the worst spots in those places. So, like, I think they like have Ricky stay at a 5-star hotel, and they'd have him stay at like some random.
Only just caught the tail end of the class conflict from the previous episode, but the way you said 5-star hotel suggested a gleam of recognition.
So last month I stayed at this amazing hotel in Hawaii called the Halekulani. One of the best experiences I've ever had at a hotel. That is, if you're ever in Honolulu, that is the hotel to stay at. But that aside, we're getting sidetracked here. I think, you can certainly play more, like, if you are the sidekick and, like, you have some object. Like, you can play more with that. Like, this is sort of, like, some person whom you can kind of affect as sort of a character if you are, like, on the sides and sort of supporting that.
Yeah. And I also feel like a lot of superheroes, who are the main thing I think of sidekicks in terms of, I guess, are in themselves quite boring and generic. Like, Superman, what are his qualities? They're just that he's really... awesome, right? He doesn't have any qualities. He's basically named awesome guy. All he does is be good, you know. Whereas I don't know actually a lot about any sidekicks for Superman, but sidekicks like, let's say, Robin.
Well, what about Clark Kent?
Clark Kent is also kind of a generic person defined only by being the alter ego of Superman, right? He's a journalist, I guess. I don't know. What is there to say about Clark Kent? He has glasses. He's a journalist. He is not Superman, but he is Superman.
I was thinking of him as... I was positing him as a sidekick.
Oh, you think of him as a sidekick?
Because, in a sense, that's kind of what he is, right? He's the one who gets to, like, play off the fact that Superman does all these awesome things. Let me write the articles and be famous. Like, I'm writing... This is a guy who, if he weren't actually Superman, he's just kind of, like, riding on the coattails of this other guy's success.
But he isn't actually, in any sense, riding on the coattails of Superman in that nobody is allowed to know that Clark Kent is associated with Superman, right? In his life as Clark Kent, he doesn't get to have any association with Superman.
Everyone kind of has to know some... There's kind of... How does he always get the scoops? He always knows everything that happens. Like, this is... If I were living in that universe, I would be like, something fishy's going on. Like, and it's not just the fact that if you take off his glasses, they look
exactly
an awful lot alike.
Like
I mean, there's so much circumstantial evidence. Like, it's like popping up all over that.
Well... I guess he's just a really good journalist, is what they think. I mean, they live in a world that doesn't follow the rules of our world. They live in a world where there's a superhero, Superman, and the government hasn't somehow conscripted him into their service to fight wars overseas or something, whatever the government would want from him. So they're not operating by our rules.
Are you saying that if a Superman existed in our world, or perhaps maybe a Superman does exist in our world, then either what you're positing is that the military or the government has already conscripted this superpower into doing something of this sort, or that one doesn't exist, but if they had the opportunity, they would?
I'm definitely saying the latter. I'm not of the belief that superheroes exist in our world.
Okay.
So.
But it's interesting because you're basically going off of some hypothetical that doesn't exist in this world.
You're right.
To make your argument.
I'm applying the laws of reasoning that I think would apply in that counterfactual. Yes. I don't actually think.
Robin.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm boring? As the world's greatest detective, am I boring?
No, Batman. Why would you say that? I mean, I think I wear obviously flashier colors, so
I just feel like I've got a one-track mind, you know, just take the crime out of the streets. You, on the other hand, going to college, dating, trying different restaurants, got a blog.
Holy cow. Holy Michelin 3-star restaurant. You gotta taste life, Batman.
Oh, Robin, so glad you could come meet me. It's Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
Just wanted to, I know, now that Batman's not with you, I just wanted to mention, thank God you're here, because it is so boring just to talk to Batman.
Tell me about it.
You know, like, I just feel like when I put that bat signal, half the time I'm wishing it was just Robin, and maybe, like, Batman's, like, not dead, obviously. I don't want him dead because he's useful. But, like, you know, like, busy.
Like, I could be your contact.
Exactly. Is that possible? Can we be liaison?
I don't think he's going to go for that. He's...
Commissioner Gordon.
Oh,
I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. I was, like, clipping my toenails
totally.
The other night.
Yeah. It's weird. Did you see the bat signal go up? Because I don't remember turning it on.
What?
Hey, Batman, it's the Joker. You know why I always kidnap Robin instead of you?
Probably because he's more entertaining.
Yeah, and you're so fucking boring.
Look, they're good and there's plenty of them. So we decided to name them Good and Plenty.
I guess that makes sense. It just seems like, you know, maybe we could call them fruity and sugary, which is what they taste like.
Yeah, but they're good, and everyone likes things that are good.
But what happens when you're done with the box and there aren't plenty of them?
That's a good point. I stayed up really late coming up with this idea, and I was, like, really excited about it.
I'm sorry. No, it's great. No, that's good. You know what? We'll call it Good and Plenty.
Good, okay.
Yeah, so they're called Swedish fish because they're fish, and
honestly, they look kind of Asian to me.
So they're sweet and low because they're kind of sweet, and there's a low number of them per package.
Okay, I'm just concerned that our consumers are going to think it brings them down, when really, you know, it should pick them up.
Well, I just think they should be informed about the number of sweet and lows in the package.
You know, you're right. We'll just please stop crying. We'll go with your.
I stayed up really late.
Well, it's called candy corn because it's like they've got kind of like a corn-like kernel shape to them.
Honestly, they look like one of those cones that, you know, people use to block their parking space.
What? It's not a trick.
Okay, I just called it a whatchamacallit. Okay.
So I mean, honestly, I don't care about the labels. Like, if you want me to be called your sidekick, that's fine by me. Like, I just want the experience. Like, the experiences are what matter more to me. Like, in life, what I'm labeled, what I'm called, doesn't really make me who I am.
I realize that's the more intelligent way to live your life. I realize that, but. Uh-huh. I have grown up in a society that's trained me to respect labels. Like, even though, like, I recognize a number of things are completely meaningless. Like, let's say, for example, the fact that you have a PhD and I don't, for example. Uh-huh. I realize that's completely meaningless, and yet it does make me think Krish is my better.
The funny part here is, you could just write your PhD and have a PhD.
Well, that's where,
like,
I'm.
You've done all the research. Yeah. You've done all the work. You finished the work years ago. All you have to do is, like, type it up.
Exactly.
And you could have a PhD. And you care, but you don't want to do that.
No, I just want the label. I don't want to earn it. I don't want the substantive accomplishment. Yeah, no, exactly. That's true. And then, like a similar thing happens with that, actually. Like, yeah. I'll go on, like online dating sites and stuff. And I'll see, like, people have PhDs, and I'll think, no, I need to find a PhD dropout. That's more my level. Like, the labels don't match, so it wouldn't be a good couple.
Is that even an option that's listed? Like, PhD dropout? Like, that's you. Are you, like, hoping? Like, have you, like, sent the feedback form in
write,
OkCupid?
You can write PhD dropout on them. Although, I've never seen anyone write it. I don't write it on my own. I see a lot of people write dropped out of space camp, which is, like, a jokey thing. But, yeah, no, people just write attended grad school or something instead.
Okay, but, I see.
But if I see that they wrote the PhD, I know they're too good for me.
Or maybe they're not good enough for you, or maybe they're just right for you. Like, you're paying way too much attention to
I know, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I pay substantively too much attention to these things that are just labels. Or what's another good example of a label I pay attention to that's meaningless?
I mean, your initially, it was interesting that your first instinct when you got up here was to label me the sidekick.
That was
the first thing that you went to. Was like, oh, sidekick. That makes me think of, I need to label somebody else my sidekick so I can feel better.
You go
better.
To prison, you got to make a strong impression on the first day.
So. Well, I'm glad you voluntarily turned yourself in halfway through our show.
I know. Well, I saw an opportunity to have a sidekick, so okay, perfect. I reached out for it. So you're basically the I was going to make you the Laurel to my Hardy, but again, like, who doesn't want to be Laurel? Why do you want to be Hardy? Or the, which one, Abbott or Costello? Which one is the...
Again, I don't care about the labels. Like, I enjoy them both. I think you need both of them to make that successful. Like, if somebody's like, who's on first? And, like, nobody responds to that. It's like a tree falling in the forest. Nobody cares. Who's on first? Like, if I just say that and the question goes unanswered... Is it a joke? It's not. It's kind of sad. It's like the. Have you seen the Garfields where they like remove Garfield from the panels?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like that's just like a really sad person who's alone in life. Like John Arbuckle is just talking to himself. Like I pity that person.
Wait, who do you think is the main character of Garfield? Is it Garfield or is it John Arbuckle?
It's John Arbuckle.
See, I think you've completely misunderstood the way labels work. Usually the title will tell you the main character. And then the person...
Welcome to the prison yard. I see you're the new guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't turn in my tax returns. And they're just. I'm sorry. There's just a little bit of...
Yeah, and now you're in the prison yard.
Yeah,
We're all in here for white-collar crimes. But that doesn't mean we're not tough.
Yeah, no, I can tell because you're swinging your little belt loop around.
Yeah, that's right. I'm swinging my belt loop around, but you know how we tell who's, like, really the leader of the yard? Is who has the most sidekicks. And right now I got 5 sidekicks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lot of sidekicks.
It's a lot of sidekicks, but it's not the most. Nope. And look, I'm recruiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want any trouble.
Hey. First thing about the prison yard, you don't apologize, okay? You don't apologize. I know we're all in here for white-collar crimes. I was in here for offshore drilling.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Illegal, I should say. Illegal offshore drilling.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But the thing is, okay, we're all hard now, and I got 5 sidekicks, and I'm looking for another one, because I got to be the toughest.
No, I can tell. I mean, is that why you have a monocle and a little top hat?
That's right. The monocle helps me really see things better, because you got to be very perceptive in the yard. And the top hat, that's where I hide my shiv.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, please don't shiv me. I just want to know, who are the other options for being a sidekick? I mean, you're just the first.
Oh,
you're the first.
God, you're going to go shop. You're shopping. You're shopping for a leader.
I'm sorry, it's just I want to do a little comparison. I mean, it's just my first
You know
day.
What it takes for me to, like, put myself out there? I'm, like, the first one that came to you. I noticed that you were new, and I'm like, hey, this guy needs someone to follow around and go gee willikers.
No, I really appreciate that, and I please don't take your shiv out or, you know, but I just, I whatever you do not play the accordion that's strapped to your back.
You don't want me to play the accordion? Hey, you know what? Sounds like someone needs a song.
Okay, my God, please stop. Please stop. I'll do it.
All right. Right at the start of this next scene, I just want to be clear, you're the straight man.
God, you're always labeling me, Jeremy.
I know, but I just want to be labeled the funny one.
Okay, well... Okay, fine.
Yeah! Now I'm the funny one.
Yes, you are the funny one.
Oh, come on, you're supposed to set me up better.
Look, I wanted to be the funny one, okay?
You, well, fine, you can be the funny one, but label-wise, I'm the funny one.
Okay,
Honey, who's your really funny friend?
God damn it.
Yeah, he's really
That's
cute.
My straight man.
What? No, oh, he's straight. Well, that's great. That's great, honey. No. Yeah. I mean, they're so hard to find in San Francisco these days.
I know. You know, like, I don't remember which one. The Abbott Costello. Usually it's the tall, skinny one is the straight man.
Yeah, I know.
That guy's supposed to be funny.
Oh, honey, no. You look great. You look great. But, man, that guy, he's, like, got that nice, lean sort of, you know, that incisive diction. And,
so he looks better than me and he's funnier than me.
Well, yeah.
That's a really terrible label to put on someone that's not me.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? I still think that your glasses look nice.
Wow, that's the best thing you can come up with.
Yeah, so I know you noticed that I put Dropped Out of Space Camp on my OKCupid profile, but I just want to be clear, I really did drop out of space camp.
No, I really appreciate the honesty in that. I actually dropped out of getting my associate's degree in the first semester.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought that was just a joke.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I don't know. There's no label for that specifically, yeah. So no, I just thought I'd put that there.
It's creative that you did that.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's not creative, though. It's real. Just like you in space camp.
You are so funny. You're so I feel like we're going to get along. But so I just want to say that even though I know a lot of people joke about being a space camp dropout, it was a very horrendous ordeal. Like, I went through so much physical trauma, especially in that gravity centrifugal.
I'm sorry. Things aren't working out. We're just throwing you out of the airlock.
And it was not fun.
That really sounds traumatic.
Yeah, and you know that line in space, no one hears you scream?
Yeah?
Yeah, in space camp, no one hears you scream.
No?
No. Especially if you're, like, lowest in the totem pole. Like, because, oh, I forgot to mention that.
Ah, it's so peaceful here in space.
Yeah. I hope no dropouts come floating by to ruin things.
Even if they do, we wouldn't be able to hear.
Oh, because there's no sound in space. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it looks like he's screaming, but I can't hear it, so I don't really feel that bad.
Yeah, it just seems like he's at like a Third Eye Blind concert or something.
It's a good thing that we have like these radio things that we could talk to each other and hear each other in space.
Yeah. I just want to do complete eye contact with you. Just,
yeah. Thank you for having me on your space talk show, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, because in space, no one can hear you scream.
Oh, I think you miss so many opportunities by obsessing over title. Like you could,
I absolutely do.
I mean, you could, if you wanted to, you could move to New York right now and...
That's actually another thing. If I'm stuck in this prestige trap with the move, I'm thinking to myself, I have to get a job that's, you know, on the same... I used to work for a company that... Mm-hmm. The same company you work for that you don't like naming, but I used to work for Google. I don't mind saying the company I work for. And so now I keep feeling like when I move to New York, I have to get a Google job or like a similar thing, like a Facebook job or something. And that's locking me out of the fact that I could just go and move and get some fucking, like, I could be a... I could stock books or something at a place, you know.
And what's not to kind of needle in on this, but You don't have a job right now. So
I know.
If
so I could be
there,
unemployed
could,
in New York,
yeah, exactly.
too.
There's
but
like,
I
it's
feel
a
like people
transfer.
Are going to be like yelling at me. Like, what are you doing? You uh-huh. haven't planned this thing. You got to plan a thing. So I'm stuck in all of these modes of like, I don't want people to tell me I'm a bum over there. I'm a bum here, but people aren't telling me it so much. But if I move, it opens up the opportunity to discuss it.
No, I put bum on my dating profile for a reason.
What was the reason?
I'm honest. Oh. Unemployed's just the mouthful.
You know,
I put flatulent on my dating profile. It just seems like honesty is trending, but I haven't gotten a match.
I put good and plenty on my dating profile, and it's not, I'm just trying to be honest.
All I care about is getting a 99% match with someone. I don't actually want to go on the date.
On my last dating profile, I put, sometimes on a good day, I look like I could be in a band or something. Honest.
Speaking of companies where you're not allowed to say who you work for, it turns out that if you are Ronald McDonald, you are not allowed to tell anyone in your life, like even someone that you're together with, your parents. Like literally, it is like you have to sign all these papers where you can never tell anyone what your job is.
Is this your way of telling us that you're Ronald?
Actually, Alice, I also used to work at McDonald's as a Ronald McDonald, and I don't give a fuck. I'm going to tell people.
Come with me, sir.
I've always wanted to be Ronald McDonald's sidekick.
You could be Ronald McDonald's alter ego. It's virtually the same thing.
Wait, Hector, you want to be Hamburglar?
Hamburglar, you don't know this about his Hamburglar, but he is tough as fuck.
He kind of looks like a little raccoon.
He
like.
Ate a shitload of Mayor McCheese's before he became the Hamburglar.
He turned Grimace purple.
I feel like Grimace is the Jimmy Olsen of the McDonald's.
So is Birdie like the Lois Lane or more of a Perry White?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, who?
Birdie was a character introduced in the mid-80s, kind of phased out a bit.
This sounds...
She's a bird.
I feel like you're trapping us in some sort of prestige trap right now, and I'm not going to fall for it.
I feel like that Burger King would have been more successful if he had a sidekick, Burger Prince.
Hey, when you guys were in White Collar Crime, did the Hamburglar beat you up, or was it just me?
So... I guess in conclusion, titles really do mean a lot to you, and I feel kind of bad.
And titles mean nothing to you, as clearly evidenced by your reading of the comic strip Garfield.
This is true. So I guess it must really bother you that Hector and I don't refer to you as a special guest.
It has weighed on me.
Oh.
I've noticed a lot of other guests get to be special, and, well... Yeah, it would mean a lot if you would end our actual friendship, but continue referring to me as a special guest.
Sorry, those crocodile tears aren't working. That's our second half. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you to our amazing cast.
I'd like to take a moment and ask, do you guys have shows that you want to plug?
Yeah.
San Francisco Tonight, every Saturday night at 10:30 at Stageworks.
See me and Harold Knight on Wednesdays for a little while. And the Divination Intervention with Zipper Dipper is the first and second Wednesday of every month.
The Understudies performs every other Thursday at 8 p.m.
Awesome. These are amazing improvisers. You've just gotten a taste. You got a taste of their improv. Despite our foibles, our inability to agree. But also, thank you to this amazing audience for coming out today.
Yeah.
But the podcaststrange.com, you can find us there. Thank you so much for coming, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks so much.